This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. Brought to you by BioCleanTex.com on Sports Radio 610.
Boy, the Enron back had some things to say. My goodness. Gosh. You want to talk about biting the hand that writes the check? Not anymore.
Enron Online will change the markets.
I just remember when Chamillionaire said in My Money Gets Jealous, don't bite the hand that writes the check or you'll go broke.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently David Johnson didn't listen to Get Your Mind Correct. My goodness. We'll hear from him in just a second. He's also got some excuses for why he stunk so bad. That has nothing to do with blocking. It has nothing to do with not hitting the hole fast enough. You'll hear that in just a sec. The Enron back had a lot of things to say, Mike. Goodness, dude. King Bill.
That kind of came out of nowhere.
King Bill, I know you listen to the show. You might not want to listen to the next segment. My goodness. They're from the Enron back in 15 here on Football Friday, presented by the greatness of Hoppadillo by Carbox. Steelers at Titans. It's the game of the week in the NFL. Game of the week. Before we talk about that one, here's Mike Vrabel on his coach's show out there in Nashville, talking about the decision by Romeo Crennel to go for two in the win last Sunday.
Just under 2 minutes remaining. They go for two to try to put the game away.
Well, that's probably the right play, you know, up seven and trying to win it right there. You know, we played pretty well down there, Mike, and unfortunately they went for it twice on fourth down and they were able to get it here. Jeff Simmons is able to get his hand up and make another impactful play for our football team to give us an opportunity to go down there and tie it.
So he's co-signing as well.
Yeah. That's Vrabel. What about the man who called the play, Tim Kelly? Brandon Scott asked Tim Kelly about it. Most intense version of Tim Kelly you'll ever hear.
And as an offensive mind, explain why that was a good idea and what it feels like for you.
Yeah, because, I mean, if we get it, the game's over, right? So, like, that's a no-brainer. With the players that we have, with the quarterback that we have, that's a no-brainer. If we have an opportunity to go out there and win the game and end it right there, then I would do that 100% of the time. So when he said go for it, I was the most excited person in the stadium because I knew we had a good play. I knew our guys would go out there and execute. And you know, 2 inches more to the left, and I think we're having a different conversation today.
Wow. Damn, he cut him off.
Yeah, he did. No, hey, you know what? It wasn't a no-brainer because people have been arguing this, but I think the vast majority of people understand this was the better decision for a 1-4 team at the time.
Did he drink a little coffee there? Or
yeah,
what?
He was going.
Man, B. Scott gets
like
a rise.
Derrick Henry in high school.
B. Scott got Tim Kelly fired up a little bit there. Yeah. It might be his 5-hour energy.
Yeah.
Steelers at Titans. Or actually, Steelers at Titans. Who you got?
I'm going to go Titans. I think it's a coin flip. Actually, Lee Sterling kind of swayed me, too. I'd forgotten they're hurting in the middle of their defense at linebacker, the Steelers. And if Derrick Henry gets past that first level, it's over. I mean, it's done. Against the Texans, they had two guys running slightly ahead of him when he got to the second level, and he still went 94 yards.
I'm going to go with the Titans. I think they're effing awesome.
Yeah.
And I think Ryan Tannehill's awesome, and I don't think he gets credit for being awesome. I think people are too dug in on it. I think at some point, Real needs to recognize Real.
Yeah.
I think Lee said 40 touchdowns, 7 interceptions since he took over as quarterback. He's played at an MVP level. Ryan Tannehill deserves more respect than he gets. You'd think Derrick Henry's like a rich man's Walter Payton or something, the way you talk about how he's just making Ryan Tannehill look at. Where was that with Marcus Mariota? Tell me where that was at.
That's right. How come Mariota didn't have that?
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Give me a break.
You were comparing the stats of Tannehill and Mahomes.
Mahomes has 70 more yards. Other than that, every single statistical category favors Tannehill.
What about Tannehill?
Mahomes is better, but Tannehill's just playing at that high of a level.
Well, that's the point. And what about Tannehill versus Russell Wilson over the last 15 games?
It's been good.
12-3, 11-4. 35 touchdowns, 36 touchdowns. 264 yards per game, 260 yards per game. This dude's elite right now.
He's good.
I'm not saying he's an elite quarterback.
He's an upper second-tier quarterback.
Elite football.
He's an upper second-tier quarterback.
If you're going to call...
He's not some chump.
Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes elite. You don't have to call Ryan Tannehill elite, but when he's matching them stride for stride, throw for throw, better than them in some areas, you have to acknowledge he's playing elite football, no matter what else is happening around him.
And look at Derrick Henry's splits before Ryan Tannehill.
Right.
It's not like Derrick Henry's been in the league for a year. Like, look at his splits before Ryan Tannehill. Put some respect on Ryan Tannehill's name. He's an upper second-tier quarterback.
Yeah.
There's no shame in admitting that.
Yeah.
Browns at Bengals. Browns lost to the previously mentioned Pittsburgh Steelers.
Bad.
Baker Mayfield sent to the bench. Case Keenum comes in. Baker Mayfield gets to start this week. Baker Mayfield pissed off.
I don't give a damn what they say. It's within this building. We know we can be better. I know I can be better. And that's how it's going to be handled. The outside noise doesn't matter. They get paid to talk. We get paid to do our work. So that's how it's going to be handled.
There you go, Baker. Yeah. If the Bengals win this game, that'd be good for the Texans. The more games that the Browns can lose, they get that third loss, that would be good for the Texans. I'm not going to pick them, though. I'm going to give it to the Browns. I like their defense. I like their run game. I like Kareem Hunt. I do think this is going to be, quote, closer than the experts think. Shout out to Lee Sterling, or Lee Corso, excuse me. Wrong Lee. Good Lord. No disrespect
to the
legends.
That's a race
car. But I will... race car! I will pick the Browns.
I'm going to pick the Browns, too, and found out today Joe Mixon will not be playing. He's out. So
Giovanni Bernard.
Giovanni Bernard is the man.
Oh, my gosh. I got to pick him up right now. Good Lord.
Yep.
I know he's already picked up. My league's too on top of things. Bills at Jets. Filibuster this so I can get me some Bernard. Go ahead.
I mean, this is an easy filibuster. Bills are going to be all over the Jets. The Jets have got their odds have gone down significantly to go 0-16. It's hard to go 0-16, just like it's hard to go 16-0, but the Bills are going to do their part.
Yeah, he's already picked up.
Well, I did the best I could.
Who did this in my league? The last place team?
Hey, he's
TJ?
Trying to make a move. Is that the one that you always give a hard time to?
TJ, yeah.
Yeah. He's your Josh?
Yes.
He's your Josh, like Blake Snell?
Very much. I'll take the Bills over the Jets because the Jets are pathetic. Mm-hmm. Lions at Falcons. This one's interesting. Falcons kind of turned it on last week without Dan Quinn. Lions are very meh. I'm going to take the Falcons to win their second straight game with their interim coach.
Ooh, I don't like the Lions. I don't think they're good. I think whenever they played well, it's been a surprise to me. But they are in a little bit of a roll right now. I didn't pick them last week, and I think maybe they're finding a little something. They still have a good quarterback. I'm going to go with the Lions.
The Saints hosting the Panthers, who are led by the quarterback who went viral last year doing the choppa style after every single win, Teddy Bridgewater. I think Teddy Bridgewater, choppa styles, and the Carolina Panthers led by Matt Rhule upset the New Orleans Saints, who will be without Michael Thomas, it looks like, yet again, because all of a sudden the hamstring hurts on top of the ankle. Give me Teddy Bridgewater going back to New Orleans, getting his revenge, doing the choppa style.
They're better. I mean, how often?
Oh, you're going to say this?
How often can
Don't
you go
say in, you're going to say this?
I'm going to say this.
All right.
How often do you go into a game against Sean Payton and say the Saints are not the better coach team?
You're already going to put Matt Rhule up there.
No, I say they're the better coach team. Matt Rhule has these guys playing really, really well.
Joe Brady calling plays.
I'm going with the Panthers.
You love the 31-year-old ginger.
Yep.
Joe Brady, boy wonder, did his thing at LSU last year, doing his thing right now with the Carolina Panthers and Teddy Bridgewater. The NFC East... 6+ weeks into the 2020 season has 6 total wins. Total wins. Cowboys go to Washington in a pick 'em game against the team formerly known as the R-Words. I'm going to take the Cowboys and Andy Dalton. However, it seems like the wise guys like the Washington football team over Dallas. Alden Smith, by the way, banged up, the latest member of the Cowboys to be questionable, borderline doubtful to play on Sunday.
I'm going to go with Washington just because I think the Cowboys, that the noise, as we've been talking about, inside the locker room, criticizing the coaching, that doesn't go away, man. That does not go away in just 3 days, 4 days, whatever it's going to be. There is complete dissension in that Cowboys locker room. Washington will win the game.
You got Washington.
I got Washington.
It's always interesting when the Cowboys are a pick 'em because the Cowboys are one of those teams where the betting line is misleading.
They're a wreck, though. They're a train wreck.
But the betting line's misleading because people bet on the Cowboys
just
no matter
because,
what.
Yeah.
So even if you put them at -2, -3, the wise guys could do that, and they'd still get a lot of Cowboys bets.
Mm-hmm.
The fact they're making it a pick 'em tells you all they need to know about how they feel about this Cowboys team.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point.
Chiefs at Broncos. Kansas City, best team in the NFL, in my opinion. They can switch styles like crazy. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Drew Lock, the Broncos.
Have you picked up Le'Veon?
Nah, he was already on a team.
Well, he's going to score a touchdown. You know they're going to feed him if they get down to the goal line. Just so they can show, just so Bieniemy can show, what else can we do? Let me show you what else can we. They can. You just talked about it. They can win slugging it out. They can win track meet. They can win every manner in between. They're going to get down to the goal line. I don't know. Tyreek Hill's going to stumble at the 3 yard line after a long catch. They're going to give it to Le'Veon Bell. Boom. They're going to show you what else they can do.
You think Le'Veon Bell's horny?
I am not familiar with his sexual prowess.
Well, I just know when you get out of a bad relationship or something like that, like he was with the Jets, a lot of times you get on the prowl and you get horny. You think he's horny for the end zone?
Oh,
I'm not saying he's horny for like some skeezers at the bar. I'm talking
He's feeling a stiff breeze
right
horny.
Now. He's horny for the end zone.
He's feeling a stiff breeze.
You heard it here first. Yeah. Chiefs win, Le'Veon Bell touchdown. Tampa Bay at Oakland. This was going to be the Sunday night game. They moved it to 3:05. Tom Brady, I said Oakland at Las Vegas. Damn me. Give me the Tampa Bay Bucks. It's not necessarily even because of the offense. Their defense is so damn underrated. We talked about this heading into the year. Tampa Bay beats the Las Vegas Raiders. Give me the Bucks.
I'm with you. But why? What does it matter moving the game?
I didn't understand it.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. Is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
49ers at Patriots. 49ers have all kinds of injuries. Patriots started out well, hasn't gone as well. Give me the new genius of the NFL. Bill Belichick's the greatest genius of all time, but I think the genius of the NFL right now, you look at how he's coached through all these injuries, and it's not just like one or two guys. Literally, their 10 best players at one point were pretty much out, and they won a game. Give me Kyle Shanahan winning over Bill Belichick in New England. Give me the 49ers over the Pats.
Better defense, too. So give me the 49ers over the Patriots.
Jags in Los Angeles against the Chargers. Justin Herbert is the latest flavor of the quarterback month. Minshew mania dying down a little bit. Does Herbert mania continue? Do the Chargers hold off the Jags?
Oh, yeah. Chargers are going to win here. Herbert, he's going to have his bad days. But this isn't going to be one of them.
Give me the Jags.
Yeah. Jags?
Give me the Jags.
Oh.
Jags with the upset. Chargers had a lot of injuries. They've played well. Anthony Lynn's done a good job. I hope they're patient with him because he's done a very good job given the circumstances. But go ahead and give me the Jags in the upset. Sunday Night Football. This one was moved from the 3 o'clock to the 7 o'clock. Seattle Seahawks in Arizona to face DeAndre Hopkins and the Arizona Cardinals.
Make a team better. T-E-A-M.
I'm really, outside of Pittsburgh and Tennessee, I'm really
this
looking
gonna
forward
awesome.
To this.
This
is going to be so
awesome.
Good. Hop in primetime?
Awesome.
I mean, Hop in primetime is a better hop. And on top of that, this has got to be a statement game for Arizona.
They got to win one. They got to beat a good team eventually.
And they have to. That gets them in the division race. Are they going to have any fans in the stands? I don't know.
I think a few.
A few? I'm picking Arizona. I think this is going to be one of those.
I am too. I just want to root for Kyler and Nuke, if anything else. So I'm going to take the Cards. Monday Night Football, Bears at Rams. It's a battle.
It is a battle, and it's different.
Two best defensive players in the league, you think? Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald?
Yeah, and I think the Bears have a slight edge on the defense, but I'm going to take the Rams. I just have to take the Rams.
I'm taking the Rams. Yeah. It seems like every time the Rams play, Aaron Donald has about 9 sacks.
Yeah.
Just punking people like Debo and Friday.
Yeah.
713-572-4610 to get in. David Johnson.
Man.
Excuse me, dump that. The Enron back, number 31, had a lot to say. My goodness, Bill O'Brien, shots fired in King Bill's direction. And excuses, they're there. He's got them. You'll hear them next.
What can we help you save, Enron?
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Presented by Carbox Hopadillo IPA. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
The Enron back, number 31. What's his government?
Hey, that would be David Johnson from the Houston Texans. David, my Johnson. Good friend Toro.
Hadn't been very good. Not very many people surprised by this. I think there's only two people this side of the Mississippi that thought that the Enron back was fair compensation for DeAndre Hopkins. Those two people, one no longer with us, King Bill. Pour one out for King Bill. Not dead, just not the coach anymore. And Jack Easterby, the other one. Not a blessing. Not a blessing, to say the very least. He's been bad. 350 yards through 6 games. You've had talk about why Tim Kelly said that he's facing, you know, heavy boxes.
Mm-hmm.
His lack of production last year in Arizona. You had people saying that it was schematic. Although Seth Payne mentioned that he did face the lightest boxes in Arizona. The year before that, there was talk about, you know, it's a new coach, new system, so on and so forth. But he hasn't been very good. And if
he's
you don't believe
bad.
Us, he agrees with us.
Yeah.
Walter Payton, man of the year last year for the Arizona Cardinals, he agrees with us. And he also had some interesting things to say about what is going on, why he hasn't been effective. And he kind of pulled the curtain back a little bit on King Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the starting running back. the starting running back for your Houston Texans. The Enron back, number 31, live from NRG, a few days away from the game against the Pack.
Enron Online will change the markets.
Leading up to this season, there was a lot of talk about how you guys could use both of you and Duke in the passing game and the weapon that would be, and that just hasn't really gotten off the ground for either of you guys. What do you think that is that running backs just haven't been such a big factor in the passing game for this team so far?
I think just with everything going on, the different coaches, and then really just trying to figure out what is working. Trying to get the run game working first. And I think that's really a big component is just trying to get the run game established and then try to do everything else.
Yeah. As you guys near the bye week and kind of near the halfway point of the season, how would you evaluate your performance so far this season?
Mine's not where I want it to be. I need to do better. I need to run the ball better, catch the ball, and protect better. You know, I had some flashes of good plays, but overall I think I missed a couple opportunities for sure.
How do you avoid pressing when you're in a situation like that, when your performance, as you said, hasn't been where you want it to be? How do you kind of process it all mentally? This is your first year here and kind of trying to just play within the offense and do your job.
Really just talking to the guys around Duke, Coach Danny Barrett, and just trying to figure out what to do to help out this offense, what to do to help out this team.
Are you hopeful that things can get turned around? And what do you, when you are running the ball too, what are you seeing as far as, you know, holes? And we see sometimes where, you know, there is some room to run outside. Sometimes it's kind of clogged up in the middle and you might have to make a hole. What do you kind of see when you're evaluating your opportunity to get more yards?
I think I need to hit the hole a little harder. I think it's just different. Every play is different. It's not. We learn, especially for me, nothing's ever perfect or, you know, and nothing's ever blocked perfect. It's just me making the holes. Our line does a great job. I just got to figure out what to do to help them out. Maybe setting up the blocks a little bit better, being more patient, doing things like that.
So, David, what do you think it is that you struggle with or maybe the source of the struggles? Is it physical? Is it mental? Or like, what do you think it is that's maybe holding you back?
For me, it's just when things aren't going the best, I feel like I have to run harder, run, you know, not be as patient. And I think I rush too much and I get in my head a little bit too much and try to do too much instead of my job. I think that's the biggest thing that I try so hard to, do over the above, where I can just be, I need to just be more relaxed and be patient and let the runs come to me.
What's it like for you being new with this team and I guess the expectation? I know you had, you know, high expectations in terms of wanting to have a bounce back season from your time in Arizona. What's it kind of just been like for you guys mentally and emotionally, you know, just kind of dealing with everything that's going on?
I can't really speak for everyone else, but for me, it's just been tough. You know, I had, like you said, high expectations. The first game was going well. And then I just needed to figure out, you know, what to do to bounce back, get this offense going in the running game, and really help excel this offense, get momentum going. You know, I'm supposed to be one of the playmakers. I got to do things to make plays, whether that's running the ball, catching the ball, blocking for Deshaun. I just got to be able to, when the, you know, my opportunity comes, make the most of it.
Hey, David, I know you mentioned that this season isn't going as well as you hope. How much can this upcoming bye week actually help you and you can start seeing a turnaround during the second half of the season?
It's going to help a lot. It's going to help a tremendous amount just because, you know, get the body back fresh as possible. It's never going to be 100, but getting the body fresh as possible. And then with the new coach, Rack being the new head coach, we can start really figuring out, you know, what to do. And then, you know, we can just really just get back and basically start a clean slate. Obviously, the record isn't clean, but a new clean slate. But just try to go back to fundamentals for me and getting back, you know, on board with everything going on.
Hey, David, physically, how do you feel? Are you feeling like, you know, 100% in terms of health? In previous years, you had some different injuries. How do you feel right now?
Feel good. Football, like I said, you're never 100% as soon as football starts. But I feel great, especially as a running back. Body feels good, and I'm good to go.
How helpful was that meeting the other day in terms of clearing the air when Romeo broached the topic of the trade rumors and kind of clear the air with you guys? Do you feel like that was constructive for you all? And what were you thinking before? What are you feeling like about it now after hearing that?
For me, I never really look too much into the media or think too much about it. I've learned, you know, over the last couple of years, never read too much into what the media is saying, what everyone's saying. So before, it never really fazed me. And then after, it more clear of mind, really not for me, but for everyone else, for the team as a morale overall, I feel like it really just, like you said, cleared the air. And he really let everyone know that he is expecting to keep everyone and he wants to keep everyone.
David, you mentioned the coaching change in your earlier answers. Has anything schematically changed for you guys in the running game since the coaching change, since Tim's kind of been back in charge of the offense?
Not really schematically, but Tim's really actually calling the plays, I think. And he's having, you know, the full job. And I think he's asking guys, you know, what they like. And overall, not really, but just to know that he's calling it fully.
Gotcha. And it seems like some of your biggest runs this year have come off of some of those like option plays that you and Deshaun have. What value is it to have in the running game for you? What opportunities does it create for you when you have a mobile quarterback like him and when he gets involved in the running game?
Oh, it's a lot. It's very helpful because defenses have to honor him as a runner. Like you said, he's a fast guy. He can break tackles and stuff. He can run the ball. And so it helps out. It gets defensive linebackers, DNs, out of gap, and helps me finding holes a lot better.
Are you comfortable enough at this point to maybe go to the coaches and say, hey, maybe you're not comfortable doing this particular thing, or is it more just a performance thing? Like, is there anything that maybe you do well that y'all are not doing, and maybe some things that y'all are doing that maybe you feel like you don't necessarily succeed at as much?
No, we've talked. That's a really good. That's what I like about this coaching staff. They're up front. If I need to talk to them, if there's a concern, if they have concern with me, we are very upfront, and you know, they've never not done what I've asked, or you know, I'm always open to run or do whatever play to help out the offense. So that's what I like about this offensive staff.
It's David Johnson. My goodness. What did he say about Bill O'Brien, the offense with Tim Kelly instead of Bill O'Brien?
Tim Kelly is actually
not really schematically, but Tim's really actually calling the plays. Okay. I think.
All right. That's all I need
to
hear.
That's very telling. Don't downplay that.
Speaking of the run game, we got some breaking news that's going to significantly, and I mean significantly, impact the game on Sunday. We'll give that to you, and we'll also trip balls heading into Friday. Friday future tripping next.
From the Twin Peaks studio, it's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610, presented by Carbox Hopadillo IPA. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez. Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
All right, sometimes you get a break that you don't expect. Texans, very bad against the run. Worst team in the NFL against the run. Job might get a little bit easier on Sunday depending on what the Packers decide, because they have a game-time decision to make, according to Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network. Running back Aaron Jones suffered a very mild calf strain in practice Thursday. Jones wants to play Sunday, but it'll be a game-time decision. Now, this is where, if you're the Packers, you got to factor in the opponents, and you got to factor in that these mild calf strains, if you don't rest them, can become much worse. And do you want to risk the health of your running back, one of the most important parts of your offense and what you like to do, against a Texans team that can't stop the run, and knowing that you're going to be a factor in the NFC and in the NFL down the final stretch? This could actually be the Texans actually benefiting somewhat
for being 1-5.
Being 1-5 and being bad against the run.
No, I think that's exactly what it is. They have confidence in their backup as well, Jamal Williams.
My guy.
Yeah, you got him on your team. I wouldn't expect him to play. It's, although he said very mild, maybe he's just going to...
It's easy for him to say.
Maybe he's going to get here Saturday and just like, dude, I'm 100%, you know, and just go. But I would doubt it, because you have to keep in mind, they're in a real race, too, in the NFC North. I mean, they and the Bears, they're in a real race up the top, so they don't want to have any long-term, you know, potential problem.
Here is the guy that would replace Aaron Jones in the Packers lineup, the backup running back, Jamal Williams. Let's start with him talking about what kind of weather he likes to play in.
They say mermaid. I'll just say mermaid activated. So, as soon as the rain came, it felt good. As soon as it started snowing, it felt better. And then it went back to rain a little bit. So it was just like a good overall day of everything. Like one day I felt like SpongeBob for a minute, right? Then it started snowing. Felt like frozen. I was like, all right, here we go. Olaf time. Then it went back to raining. So then I felt like SpongeBob, you know what I mean? The Goofy Goober type. When he was drying up, and you know, he had that little drop of like that before he turned into, you know what I mean? That's how I felt.
Okay.
That's how he felt. Good running back. He is a good running back.
He is a good running back, and he's good at calling out media types for bad questions.
How encouraged were you by the commitment to the run now that the weather's turned a little bit, and you just get the feeling that this is the time of year with the weather conditions and cold, and a little bit more is going to be put on you guys, your guys' plate? No?
I kind of got confused. I ain't gonna lie to you. Halfway through your question, I stopped listening.
That's an all-time great answer. I just gotta tell you, man, you lost me.
Wasn't doing it for me.
Yeah,
Jamal Williams. Keep an eye on it, because the Packers can make a decision. Just like we talk about the Texans looking at 2021, mm-hmm. when they make choices, Packers are playing much more checkers than chess. But do you want to run Aaron Jones against the Texans, knowing that you could probably run the ball effectively
and you've got a
with Jamal
rookie
Williams,
too, don't you?
Dillon, AJ Dillon, very Dillon. Good, yeah. Very good player.
No, we're not going to see Aaron Jones.
Did I just name? I just named three Green Bay running backs. Are there any of those backs that you would not rather have than the in-run back?
No, I'd take any one of them. Any one of them, even the rookie.
Enron Online will change the markets.
After hearing the Enron back talk, though, I kind of feel bad for bashing him. I kind of see why people are so easy on him. He's such a nice guy.
Well, I consistently, you know, made it very clear what a hell of a dude he is. I mean, he's what you want to have in the NFL. He's not what you want to have as a football player in your starting backfield. That, I mean, it's business is business. This dude's making a lot of money, and he knows the business. And to his credit, I mean, he absolutely fell on the sword. If you didn't listen to it just a few moments ago, he fell on the sword. I'm not doing the job. I'm not very good. It's not happening. You know, and so he knows. He expected more. He said the first game he thought he was going to have, he felt pretty good. It was going to start to really, you know, go for him. And then he just hit a wall, and he's not playing well. And in terms of that business is business thing, he really should be replaced. I mean, it's beyond. You're six games in. I know you're not playing for anything. Hell, put Procise out there.
What about him admitting that he's in his own head?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. He fell on the sword. He knows it's getting to him. And you got to respect that, but that doesn't mean you keep him on the field.
I'm with
and
you.
Oh, by the way, one other thing that became very clear. Two of the best people in this locker room, and best people, like best human beings, J.J. Watt and David Johnson, both threw Bill O'Brien under the bus. What does that say?
Well, for J.J., I can understand because he's been here for a while, but when there's two people in the world that believe that the Enron back was still a good running back,
mm-hmm.
and Bill one O'Brien of them's gone, you basically threw him under the bus and said, Tim Kelly's basically calling the plays, and then you said... He actually listens to people.
You know,
listen. He said the difference. What's the difference in the scheme? And the Imran back said Tim Kelly actually listens to people, which is the complaints that we've heard. It's pretty telling, man. It's pretty telling. I don't know how many player references King Bill would get on that resume.
It's very telling that quality human beings like that are not even really disguising it anymore. How much they did not like Bill O'Brien.
On the outside, we know that the run, stopping the run has been a problem for the Texans. We don't know if they're going to face Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, / A.J. Dillon. We don't know. But we do know that there's going to be game inside the game on the outside on both sides. You're going to have number 17 for Green Bay versus number 21 of the Texans. Davante Adams and versus Bradley Roby. And then you're going to have number 15, Will Fuller versus Jair Alexander. Alexander's one of the cockiest guys in the NFL, and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love it. What'd he do? He held Calvin Ridley to how many catches?
Zero.
Zero catches. He's top five in the league, by the way, in most receiving categories.
After four games of 100 yards.
What'd he do to Mike Evans?
One catch, 10 yards. After three consecutive,
numero uno.
Three consecutive games scoring a touchdown.
Here is Willie Beeman, a.k.a. Jair Alexander of the Green Bay Packers, number 23.
Jair, I'm looking for the origin story with your confidence. Where does this all trace back to?
It's not really, it's just, it's either it's in you or it's not kind of thing, you know? I've always felt that way since like 5 months. So I was like 7.
Coach Gray told us yesterday that he had Darryl Green, the Hall of Famer, talk to you guys. Do you see any similarities in, you know, the way he played the game, if you ever saw any of him and yourself?
Oh, yeah. Darryl Green's super fast. He's been playing for a really long time, and that's like the goal, to play for a really long time and just to be as good as or even better is just, you know, that's a milestone, you know, that I'm not falling nothing short of that.
What was his message to you guys?
He said a lot, you know. I'm be honest. What I took from it was just being able to and had that confidence.
What should your defense look like when you're really playing at your top level?
What it should look like if we're playing at our top level, it should look dominant.
Hey, Jay, what do you recall from your year with Randall Cobb?
Randall Cobb?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a solid receiver.
Dean McGrady?
I look forward to playing him, though.
Not really. Yeah. Not really.
Steve McGrady?
Played a pretty memorable game back in college against Deshaun, that Clemson-Louisville game. I think he picked him up a couple times. Just, did you know in your college years that Deshaun was going to be the type of NFL quarterback he's become?
Can't doubt anybody. Can't put anything past anybody nowadays. So I don't know, to be honest, but he's doing a good job now.
This dude's got some swag, man.
He does.
Got the shades on. just coming in there confident as hell and playing some damn good ball right now. All pro level ball from number 23 on the pack. Expect to see him on Will Fuller for a large majority of the time. Are we going to see the rookies for the Texans finally get to play on this defense? The defense has struggled. We know the rookies didn't know anything, according to the former coach. Anthony Weaver asked about the Texans' top two draft picks this year, starting with Ross Blacklock. Ross Blacklock played in a difficult defense at TCU. Gary Patterson's one of the best defensive minds in college football. Mm-hmm. How different is what Anthony Weaver is teaching him compared to what Gary Patterson taught him at TCU? Here is Weave talking about that.
Yeah, incredibly different than what he was doing. At TCU, he was slanting and on the move a ton. All right. And in that, you always saw his athleticism and his skill set, but you knew from a technique and fundamental standpoint that he was going to struggle, particularly early in his career. Now, to his credit, without an offseason, without a preseason game, he has gotten better. And probably the amount of reps you would expect a rookie to improve, like I said, without having that base from a technique standpoint coming in. So all credit to him. And that this was always the plan going along. You know, you ease him in. You let him get his bumps early. Hopefully you don't hurt the team as a result. And then you try to expand his role as the season goes on.
That bothers me because if that was the plan initially, that's a stupid plan. Because you're seeing rookies all over the NFL make impacts, especially second-round picks. I subscribe to the Brian Gain theory that first-round picks should be starters, second-round picks should be rotational players, and guys that start sooner rather than later. He's playing behind Carlos Watkins and Brandon Dunn. If a second-round pick on this defense cannot get in, just based on what we see around the league and the guys making an impact, that to me is either troubling, a bad philosophy, poor player evaluation. Your second-round pick, especially on a defense like this, should be able to play, John.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with you. You have a first-round pick. At a position of need, obviously, you always draft, not always, if you're the Packers, you draft a quarterback, but you most always draft a position of need in the first round, and that means you almost always give them reps early, whether there's a preseason or not.
Even though he was an early second round, though.
Well, you know what I'm saying. I mean, that type of player, you expect them to play, but I also wonder if Anthony Weaver is still just sort of couching things a little bit because his marching orders from Bill O'Brien were that this guy's
let that go.
Yeah, I know you got to let it go. Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree.
You got to let that go. Mm-hmm. This is, I mean, can the kid play or not? He should be able to. It's troubling if he can't. Jonathan Grenard also can't get on the field as well. We'll see what happens on Sunday. So much intrigue, so many storylines, such a significant game for the Texans. Now, Aaron Jones, we're going to be looking to see, and I know fantasy owners are already texting in. We're going to be looking to see what goes down on Sunday. Speaking of which, let's trip balls heading into the game. Friday future tripping here on In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Predictions heading in to the weekend. Starting with the OG John Lopez.
All right, Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson will combine for 8 touchdown passes.
8?
8. Either 5-3, 4-4. I don't want to say two and six.
Rodgers threw 6 last time he was here.
It's gonna be seven and one. It's gonna be a total shootout.
Justin Reed intercepts Aaron Rodgers. First interception for a safety. Justin Reed, interception of Aaron Rodgers this Sunday. Don't book it. But it's a prediction.
That's not a bad one. Jaire Alexander.
Uh-oh.
We'll get an interception on Sunday.
Oh, gosh. That post.
You got to pick on him. Like, you have to pick on him. If Will Fuller's your guy, you don't have a lot of other weapons. You're going to have to pick on him, even though he's good.
What is that post-game press conference going to be
like? Oh, my God. What kind of sunglasses is he going to have? He's going to have sunglasses, collar popped,
hat. Aaron Rodgers throws 3 touchdown passes.
So that means in my world,
Deshaun would throw 5.
Throw 5.
Aaron Rodgers, 3 touchdown passes on Sunday.
Randall Cobb will have more catches than he did the last time these teams played.
6.
He was in the other uniform and he had 7. catches when he was a Packer in 2012 against the Houston Texans. I'm going to say he's going to have 8.
The struggle bus will be out for Lonnie Johnson. Lonnie Johnson, who last year, August 5th, cheap-shotted Jay Sternberger.
Mm-hmm.
There will be some low moments for Lonnie Johnson because the Packers will be sniffing blood when it comes to 32. They have not forgotten what went down over 400 days ago. Athletes have long memories.
Yeah. The Tampa Bay Rays are going to be up in the World Series 3-2. We got games tonight, Saturday, and Sunday.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm in football mode, though.
You're in football mode? I got football one.
You ready to make a prediction?
Titans are going to give the Steelers their first loss.
I'm with you on that.
And then prediction time.
Score of the game.
Green Bay, 38. Texans, 30.
I'm going to go Texans, 34. Green Bay, 33. Texans win by 1 point. A big win for
games
the Houston
over 30
Texans.
If the Texans hit 30 again.
The Texans top the Packers by 1 point. That's my prediction.
Okay.
Shock the world.
Shock them.
Reaction Monday. We need that Texans dub. If not, I mean, a lot of talk about the trade deadline. For Lee Sterling, thank you very much for hopping on. For the Loopholes, shout out to the Loopholes. If you listen, you are a Loophole.
I would also like to give a shout out. I
don't have the time.
And for the OG John Lopez and Figgy Fig being the best of the world at what he do, I'm Landry Locker. This has been Football Friday presented by the greatness of Carbox Hopadillo. We'll talk to you Monday, 10 a.m. for Reaction Monday. We're going to be at the game. Going to be good times. We'll talk to you then. But in the meantime, Clint Sterner and Ron Hughley are next.
Thank you, Peggy.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.